precise o fez. Oh, 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 thine will be done. Be done, Lord, be done in my life. Oh, not my will, Lord, but thine be done. Be done in my life. When I do good, Lord, when I do good, Lord, when I do good, evil's present, in God's presence I'm a blessing. I must decrease, he must increase, power in me is there, I believe. This you played on Calvary, no longer a mystery. By the Lord, thy will be done. Be done, Lord, be done in my own life. Not my will, Lord, but thine be done. Be done in my life. When I do good, Lord, when I do good, Lord, when I do good, evil's present, in God's present. Number one, stop. Oh, Jesus, I want to die, you must live, in your word there's grace to believe. I won't let you go till you bless me, Jacob, I race until I'm free. Thy will, Lord, thy will be done, Lord, be done in my own life. Not my will, Lord, but thine be done in my life. When I do good, Lord, when I do good, His presence, in God's presence. Oh, when I do good, Lord, when I do good, evil's present, in God's presence, I'm a blessing.
Good. May the Lord bless you this morning.
Amen.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful yet again for another Sunday morning, Lord, where we could come and gather together in a place, Lord, and worship you, to sing these songs, to remember that day, Lord, when you rose again from the grave. Lord, what a promise that we have. And so we are thankful this morning, Lord, that, Father, we have an opportunity to come and to have church once again, to read scriptures, Lord, to sing songs. These things are precious unto us. So we want to commit them into your hands and that you bless us this morning. Bless the saints that are on the way, Lord, and the children having Sunday school in different places in this building. Lord, we commit it all into your hands and we ask that you bless this Sunday school class now. For we ask these blessings in the name of thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you this morning, saints. It's always been my policy to try and avoid standing here in this building. Because it's not easy, the setup, I mean. But it's always a privilege to stand before the children of God. So you pray for me this morning. We would like to look at a small topic that I started some months ago, but I never got opportunity to finish. So I'd like to invite you to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 6 rather, from verse number 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hateful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. In the book of Zephaniah, the book of Zephaniah is just after the book of Habakkuk and before the book of Haggai, so it's really a hidden book towards the end of the New Old Testament. The book of Zephaniah, chapter 2, from verse number 1. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Let's pray again. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for these words. May you open them up to us, Lord, that we may learn of something, and that, Father, it may prepare us for the day that we are living in. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated, saints. So I started on this topic a while back. Back in November, we were still in Santry. It was in Santry, and that was back in November, and I never had opportunity to finish up this topic. So yesterday, while I was preparing, just trying to prepare for Sunday school, I had a real nightmare during the day because I waited on the Lord and waited and waited, and nothing was coming. Oh, I was like, Lord, what have I done? You know, it's not an easy feeling to know that, oh, look now, it's 2 p.m. I'm still waiting on the Lord, and Sunday school is tomorrow, and there's nothing happening. Ah, it was hard. So I opened my notebook and began to peruse through the old notes that I had, and I seen, oh, I started on this topic, and I had meant to go three lessons on it, and I never did the third one. So I read through the notes, and things began to open up a little bit. So I'm really thankful to the Lord that it happened that way, because I think that maybe the Lord wanted me to finish this up, because we need this kind of thing. Somebody here needs it. I need it. We all need it. So I thought that maybe we will speak and finish on this topic, but because it's been so long since we spoke on it, I think that I will just give a little bit of a background and run right through it until we get to the point where we want to really nail it down home. So in the book of Zephaniah, where we just read, it says that in the day of the Lord's anger, and we know that such a day is coming, because we read of that day in the book of Malachi chapter 4, that the day of the Lord that shall burn as an orphan, it will come. And we are all expecting that such a day will come. And many people will be surprised when it comes, because they'll be like, but I thought the rapture will come first before this happens. I thought Elijah will come first. Now we are privileged to know that Elijah has already come and is preparing us for that day. But the day of the Lord's anger is going to come. And it says in the book of Malachi chapter 4, it shall burn as an oven. And all the unrighteous, all the ungodly shall be burnt together with it. You know? And so it's the same here that we are reading in the book of Zephaniah. For it says, gather yourselves together before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you. Before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you.
So he's calling people here to say, gather yourselves together because such a day is coming and it is soon going to be upon us. But the book of Zephaniah reveals a few things there that we would like to look at. In verse 3, it says, seek ye the Lord, all you meek of the earth. So there's a certain quality about the people that are going to be hidden away from the day of the Lord. It says, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. So the day of the Lord's anger, when it comes, there are certain people that are going to be hid away. They will not have to go through the experience of what this earth and all the ungodly are going to go through, because it will be a day of fierce anger. But before that happens, God is going to take a certain people away from this earth and hide them somewhere while his anger plays out here on this earth. And we know that to be the rapture, because that's what exactly the rapture will do, is it will take us and bring us to heaven for a little while terrible things play out here on earth. And so when that happens then, when the day of the Lord's anger happens and we are not here, sorry, I got a little bit distracted there. Thank you, Brother Mike. A little bit of water. He is going to hide us away from the day of the Lord's anger. But we see in the book of Zephaniah that it's a certain kind of people that seek righteousness, they seek meekness. And those are the people that he's going to hide away. And it's very beautiful how it plays out in the Bible, because when we now move to the book of Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus was teaching and he was saying one of these beatitudes here, and we have a big misconception about beatitudes because we think it's Sunday school lessons for children. But these are real, real, real things that really divide between the sheep and the goats. And he says in the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse number 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So you can see how these verses play together and build a very beautiful picture. Because God is going to come and take the meek away from this earth and hide them, and renew this earth by fire, and then the meek will come back to this earth. In the book of Matthew, it says, they shall walk on the ashes of the wicked. But here in the book of Matthew, it says, they shall inherit the earth. So there's a real clear picture here of what kind of people are going to be hid away during the fire that shall burn this earth. What kind of people are going to come back and inherit this earth? And it is this quality of a meek person. And in the book of Peter, it says that it's an ornament, a spirit that is quiet and meek. It's of great value unto the Lord. So no wonder God is going to save them, because if your house goes on fire, you're going to save the most important thing. You know, if my house goes on fire, I know what I will save, you know. I'll do the best I can to save the most important things. I'll just wake up and zip line to my son's bedroom, bring him up like this, drag my daughter with this hand and the other one, and push my wife down the stairs, and out we go. Everything else can burn, because that's what's precious to me. And the Lord, when the fire is going to come on this earth, he will do the same too. He's going to save that which is precious, and it says the ornament of a quiet and meek spirit, which is of great value in the eyes of the Lord. So this meekness quality, we have a big misunderstanding on it, because many people think meekness is weakness. Because they look at you and your reaction and they think you are weak. Look at him. He gets pushed around. They don't see what happens behind the scenes. Because when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and they came and they betrayed Jesus and they got him and they were shuffling him around, people that were standing from afar and looking, they were like, ah, look, he's weak. This is the man who raised people from the grave. And now look what they're doing to him. He's weak. They didn't realize that he was meek, because he says to one of his disciples, put away the sword. Don't you know that I could tell my father and he could send me 12 legions of angels and they could change things right around here? But if I do that, how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? So the people that didn't hear that conversation could have looked at Jesus and say, he's a very weak person. But the people that had that conversation, they realized something. Here is a man who has power to call 12 legions of angels. Here is a man who can speak people into existence and out of existence. Yet for scripture to be fulfilled, he submitted that power under the authority of God's word. And that's what it is to be meek, is when he walked into Gethsemane with compassion. Imagine the compassion, seeing multitudes of people that are very, very sick and having the power to heal every one of them. He could have done that. But because God wanted him to go there and look at this one person and heal that person and walk away, many people could have looked at Jesus and say, he really lacks compassion. With all the power, and he raises only one person. But because we know what was happening, he said, I do that only which my father shows me to do. So meekness is having power, but that power is under the authority of God's word. You don't have to speak unless God tells you to, you know? You don't have to shout because you can, but you can put yourself under God's power. And that's what is to be meek. It's a word that comes from a Greek word where they used to describe a war horse. You know, a horse. Those are very powerful animals, you know. And they are fierce, fearless. They can go into dangerous situations as long as they are being led into it. So they submit all their power under the rider who's on top of them. And he says, turn here, the horse turns. Turn there, the horse turns. Yet they put that power under the authority of the horse rider. So that is really, really kind of a picture that we want to build with meekness and how Jesus displayed it there. Now, we will maybe look at one more example just so it can be very clear to others that are here of Moses. Before we get to exactly what we want to speak about this morning. In the book of Numbers, chapter 12, Moses and his brother and sister, they came to him and they began to speak to him in a very bad way because he had married an Ethiopian woman, you know. And that to them was quite a taboo of a thing for Moses to do. So they began to speak to him from verse number 1, chapter 12, Numbers chapter 12. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoke only by Moses? Has he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. So these are hateful things when people speak about the choice of wife that you have chosen. It takes the Holy Spirit alone to keep a man humble when people comment negatively about your wife. Some people have been killed for that. But not only did they speak about Miriam, they also spoke about Moses' spiritual authority in God's program in that day. Because they say, did God speak to you alone, Moses? He spoke to us also. My. So imagine Moses knows God spoke to me at the burning bush, and here they are saying God spoke to us also. But the Bible says Moses was very meek above all the men which were on the face of the earth at that time. And when these people say this to Moses, the Bible says God heard it, and he came on the scene, and he called all three to the temple. When they get there, he calls Miriam and Aaron to say, come to me. And it's interesting how the Lord spoke to them in verse 6. And he said, hear now my words. He called Miriam and Aaron forward. They are standing, just the two of them there. And he said, if there be a prophet among the two of you, if one of you is a prophet, if there be a prophet I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So Moses had a very good case here. He had a very good case against Miriam and Aaron for speaking against him like this. Can you imagine what kind of emotions Moses must have gone through? Because we are all human. We are subject to emotions and thoughts and all anger and things like when people say things to you, in the heat of that emotion, the emotions demand that you say something. They demand that you react in a certain way, but not Moses. Why? Because he was meek. He submitted his whole self under the word of God, and he never uttered a sentence. Even though he had a very good case, Moses could have been completely justified to say something about this situation. Because even God himself got angry with Miriam, and she became leprous, yet not Moses. He said, Lord, heal her now. He must have said the right thing, because many times this is where we fail. We think about meekness, and we hear about how Moses was a meek man. You know, he had a rod that he used to bring Pharaoh down. Don't you think there was a temptation in him? Say, Miriam and Aaron, what they are saying, I can just raise this rod. I don't know what will happen. He had power, but he didn't resort to that. He just waited on the Lord and he said the right thing. We may think Jesus had power because the Bible says all power is given unto him. He could have walked in there and raised all the dead. So we may think about meekness as, well, it's associated with people that have got power to do this and that and that, and I must put that power under the Lord. Well, I have no power. That's where I wanted to come to dispel that misthinking, because meekness is something that you and me should have if we are to inherit the kingdom of the Lord. And it says of Brother Branham in a message, I don't know if you can find this, sister, 62:12-23, paragraph 83, 62:12-23, the Lord came to Brother Branham and he says, be careful what you say. There's a trap set for you. And he went and told Brother Fred to say, there's a trap set for me, I don't know. And they went to church that night. He said it in church and he said, since there's a trap set for me, I must be careful. Please pray for me. And he didn't know what was going to happen. But the following night when they went into church and he was trying to preach, there comes a young man and a young woman, 25-year-olds, two of them. So they were not little people. These were adults. They walk into church and they sit there and they start disturbing the church. That's a hard thing, Brother Mike, Brother Ellie, because as a deacon, you are supposed to keep order in here. But the people, those two, they began to disturb the church, and they were doing really, really horrific, horrible things. And I'm glad all the children are in Sunday school, except you, Grace. Sorry. and Jesse. Yeah, my little sisters. But this boy begins to kiss the girl in the church. Can you imagine you preaching here and somebody reaching out to kiss this girl sitting next to her? What would you have done as a deacon, Brother Eli? What would you have done? The prophet asked that question to say, what would you have done in the other message that he speaks about it? What would you have done? And he reaches out and he grabs the girl, turns her around, kisses her again, and he says, please, sir, you are disturbing the service. Don't do that. You are drawing all the attention. My, what a character to have. Because if it was me, I don't know. Because it was too provocative what he did. Because in the end, not only was he just touching this girl and kissing, the prophet literally says he went on the lips of that girl, jumped on top like this and says, trying to make love to this girl in the church. Can you imagine? Can you imagine someone do something like that? And while he was about to say, please say, don't disturb the service, he says the Holy Spirit came. Everybody sensed it. And it said to him, do what they are in your hands. Say whatever you want. Say blindness, they will become blind. Say death, they will die right there. And he stood right there, wondering, what shall I say? And he says, I want you to put that sister, if you can, if you go down a bit. And he says, oh God. You were on 83, I think it could be 85 or so. Yeah, go on. Yeah, keep going. Again. Now they are in your hands. What will you do with them? There was a holy rush. Everybody sat deathly quiet, and I thought, oh God, what must I do? This is what we must do. Because emotions and anger demanded that the prophet respond according to his emotions and anger. But it is not what his emotions and anger were demanding that should be done. It is not what all the deacons in the church were expecting to be said that should be done. It's not even what the whole congregation was thinking. It was what God wanted to be done. That's what should have been done. And he says, oh God, what must I do? Then I remember, if it hadn't been the warning of the Holy Spirit 2 days before. Remember that. If it was not the warning, he could have done something different. That's what he's saying. If it hadn't been the warning of the Holy Spirit 2 days before, I said, I'll forgive you. Now, that was what he wanted me to say. You see, it wasn't what his emotions demanded. It was what God wanted him to say. So you may say today, you don't have power to speak someone out of existence. You don't have power to do this and that. But God has given you power over your speech. That is the power that you have. He has given you power over your time that you have. He has given you power over the money that you earn. All these things are in your power. But to be meek is to make sure you put all those things under the authority of God. That's why we read in the book of 1 Timothy, and it says, the rich suffer many temptations and hateful lusts. Because you've got the money. And I want you to think about this very, very soberly. Because when somebody does not have money, and we say, ah, we are going to such and such a place, do you want to come, brother? You say, I'll wait on the Lord. They go and pray, Lord, is this your will for me to go? If it is your will, Lord, show me in some way, provide the resources for me to go, Lord. And the Lord provides, and you know it's God's will. But when you have money, and I say, I'm going to some place, then I'll come with you, brother. Because you have the money and the time. Regardless of whether it's God's will or not, no wonder the rich fall into many temptations. And we can fall into such a category, even when we think it is something righteous that we are doing. Because the prophet would get thousands of invitations to go to places for meetings. And he would never just go. He had the resources to do it, the money. He had the time to do it, but he would lay them all here and say, Lord, which one do you want me to go to? Lord, which one? And you pick. Do you see what it is to be meek? Is to put whatever God has given into your hands under the authority of God. Amen. That is something that is precious in the eyes of the Lord. Even your response to a situation, to say, Lord, here is a situation. What should I do? What must I say? And you wait on the Lord, and maybe then you say the right thing. Because when he said the right thing there, he said the Holy Spirit fell through. Right there is where a lot of us are, standing right there wondering, why have I not had the experience that other people speak about? Because God has given you power. You have power in your hands over your time. You can decide today to say, I'm not going to church. Even have a very good reason why. But the word of God says when the saints of God gather, be together with them. Regardless of what your job is demanding of you to do. To say, I want you to come to work on Sunday. A very good justification. But when you are meek, you are going to put that power under God's authority and say, I will do what the Lord wants me to do. Is that correct time there? Oh, good. So that's what the Lord wanted him to say, and he said the right thing. You have power over your mind, the things that you dwell to think about. When you can take your mind and place it under God's word and say, I will meditate on the goodness of the Lord. Not every day you are looking for the latest gossip in the WhatsApp groups. What are we doing? What are we doing? Remember, he is going to come for the meek. Why? Why is he going to come for the meek? I wish Brother Maxwell was in here this morning, but he will come soon because he speaks about the stature of a perfect man. And God builds you up until he comes to a place where he brings the Holy Spirit and he says you must be the material that the Holy Spirit is, so that when it comes on you, it vulcanizes together. It becomes one unit. And Jesus Christ, when he was talking about himself in the book of Matthew, I think it is chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11, if you can get it, and we'll finish right there, he speaks about something. Jesus was perfect man, and he was perfect God. He was exactly like you, but he was also exactly like God. And in his, and there's a good reason why, because if he was only God, how could he be an example for us? There's no way we could ever be like him. We sing to be like Jesus, because when he appears, the Bible says, we must be like him. So when he comes, he's coming to take those that are like him to go with them in the rapture. And if you are not like him, my brother, my sister, today the altar is open. Amen. Today could be that day. But he says here in the book of Matthew chapter 11, the only time when Jesus described his human side. Because he was perfect God, he was perfect man. In his divinity, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Yeah, I am the shepherd, the good shepherd. I am the light, I am the door, and all these things. But when the only time he ever described his human side, listen to what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 11, and we will finish there. Verse 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Do you see what's after me there? What is that called? It's a, what's that? It's semicolon, isn't it? It denotes that the thing that he wants you to learn is what comes after the semicolon. And Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am your example. Learn from what I am. And it says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That's what you must learn from God. He came and he became your example and he was meek. Can you imagine the power that he had? He only had to think about the angels coming to rescue him. It would have happened. So just because you have the loudest voice doesn't mean you must use it. Put it under the authority of God. Just because you've got so much money in your bank account doesn't mean you must go to Mallorca every weekend. Put it under the authority of God and say, Lord, is this where you want me to go? Because the rich fall into many temptations. And if we are not careful, we'll fall into that too. Then one day wake up and say, we thought there would be a rapture. What happened? Well, the meek are all gone. And you are left behind because you have lacked that quality that identifies you as a Christian, And this is that quality. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful yet again this morning for your grace and your mercies. Be with us, Lord, as we wait now for the song service, wait for the preaching of the word. Lord, we pray that you come and minister to us the things that we have need. For Lord, all these things that we have spoken about, it is not possible to achieve them without the Holy Spirit. So we pray, Lord, that you minister us into a place, Lord, that we desire above all else, Lord, the Holy Spirit to come in us, and that, Father, it will enable us to be like you, to be meek and lowly, just like you are, Lord. For it was the Holy Spirit in Moses that made him to be like that. It was the Holy Spirit in the prophet that made him to be like that. That's my prayer this morning, that I be like that too, Lord, that my brothers and sisters here, we all be like that. For, Lord, you promised that we shall inherit the earth, and I believe that promise this morning. So we commit this Sunday school into your hands. Let it help someone somewhere and prepare us for that day. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.